You have probably figured it out. This is Youth Sunday. We love as a youth group to serve our church, and we love to bring you into what the Lord has been doing in our youth ministry. And before we start our message, I just wanted to share a couple things that we've really seen God do this year in our middle and high school ministries here at Rock Hill. Number one, I just wanted to share how grateful I am that we have about 38 adult youth leaders who show up every Sunday night to love on and disciple our middle school and high school students. And I just love their hearts for service. They don't come to run an event or make a program happen, but they have hearts to make disciples and help our young people look more like Jesus Christ. In October, we challenged our students to have gospel conversations with unbelieving friends. We called it Talktober, super creative. But it was to help them not just say to their friends, yeah, I go to church, but to share the love and the hope of Jesus, the story of the gospel with their friends. And it was just so amazing to see them because we recorded 215 gospel conversations just in the month of October. And I was just blown away by the boldness of our students. And I felt like that challenged me as an adult to be more on fire for Christ, to share my faith more boldly. Thirdly, I wanted to share our high school ministry this spring. We really focused on making prayer a priority, like Lily mentioned, and I was just so impressed by the faith of our students. So for our high school ministry, we just changed the whole structure for about 12 weeks. We added a 30-minute time of prayer. We trained them in and bought each one of them prayer journals. We had this massive piece of paper on the wall over there with hundreds of prayer requests and prayer answers. And we just taught lessons specifically on prayer for about 12 weeks. And our students really leaned into prayer. They took those 30-minute prayer times seriously. The Spirit really moved in those times, and it was just really cool to see them pursue their relationship with God. I also just wanted to shout out John and Tess Reginald, who are our middle school deacons, and both of them are just an incredible answer to prayer for our ministry and in my life specifically. And they just do a fantastic job, and they just bring everything you need for middle school ministry, okay? They bring that perfect blend of energy, joy, kindness, fun, and at the same time, just a deep spiritual depth for God's word and for the gospel. I'm so thankful that we get to serve you guys, that we get to bring you into what God has been doing at Youth Group. So what we're going to do is we are going to pray together, and then I'm going to have my friend Zach Robb come up, and he's going to read today's scripture passage. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. God, I thank you for our youth ministry. And God, as I lead the ministry, I get to see how much you're doing in the lives of our middle school and high school students. And God, countless times this year alone have I been challenged to grow in my love for Christ by watching revival in the hearts of the young. And God, I'm so thankful for that. God, I pray that that would continue to grow. God, that this whole church, young and old, would just have a fire for Christ, that we would share the gospel boldly, that we would pursue you and abide in you with fire, God. Lord, we thank you that we get to serve our church this morning. God, we pray for our youth ministry and all you've done and continue to do. God, we also just pray for your word. This is about opening the Bible and learning of what you've revealed to us. I pray that you would just speak, that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and speak to all the people listening today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'll be reading the passage from 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested among us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, that now that we have not loved God, but he has loved us and sent his Son, the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God. If we also love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So that we have come to know and believe that the love of God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may also have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is also what we are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and where fear has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have for him. Whoever loved God must also love his brother.
Thank you, Zach. In 2019, a court case went viral for an incredible display of love and forgiveness by someone who shockingly offered grace in spite of heartbreaking circumstances. In this case, an off-duty police officer in Dallas named Amber accidentally walked into the apartment of a 26-year-old youth pastor named Botham Jean and shot and killed him. Later, at the court case, Botham's 18-year-old brother, Brant, gave a statement at the hearing that immediately went viral online based on his incredible words. You see, this is the moment where most men would yell and curse at Amber and tell her how evil she was for taking his brother away from him and how she should rot in hell. But Brant's words went viral that day because his words were shockingly filled with love, not with hate. Let's watch what he said to her.
I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even behalf of my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not gonna say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Okay. I cry every time I watch that video, and I've watched a lot. Later, in a follow-up interview on Good Morning America, Brant was asked the question, so how were you able to forgive her? And this was his answer. He said, she made a mistake that she probably truly regrets. So if you want to forgive her, just understand that God forgave you. And I know that every time I ask God for forgiveness, he forgives me. Rock Hill, my purpose in showing you that video is to give you an example of deep and sincere love. And the point of that is that the love that Branch showed Amber did not come naturally to him. But that love came because Brant had rooted his life in and on the love of Jesus Christ that had been shown to him through the gospel message of Jesus. We love because he first loved us. If you're taking notes this morning, I would love for you to write our main point for today, which is that our love must flow from God's perfect love. Our love must flow from God's perfect love. To give you some context for 1 John, so John wrote the book of 1 John in his old age as he was overseeing small church communities. The Bible Project, which is a great online resource, gives this statement as the big idea of the book of 1 John. Bible Project says, following Jesus means entering into a way of life that is permeated with God's own life and love, beginning now and carrying on into eternity. To know Jesus is to know the creative God of life-giving and self-giving love. And our passage for today, 1 John 4, gives us a beautiful and a rich look at love and how love flows out of the gospel message, the love that God has shown for us. We're going to walk through this passage and see how our love must flow from God's perfect love. And this morning, my goal is that you would learn more about God's love, that you would see that true love is demonstrated through the gospel message, and that you would be able to view others through the lens of God's love, like Brant was able to do in the tragic case of his brother's death. So turn in your Bibles to 1 John 4, 7 through 21, and we're just going to study the Word of God together. One thing I tell my high school students every night, every Sunday night, I say, hey, I am not here to give you a motivational speech. I am here to tell you what the Bible says and tell you what God has taught us. And that's what we're going to do this morning. So let's look at verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So right away, we are taught that real love, true love, is from God. We're told to love one another. Why? Because love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And if you don't love, you don't know God. And it all comes back to his statement, right? Why don't you know God? Because God is love. And in this passage, we get something that I like to tell my students. This is a character moment, right? This is a verse in Scripture where we find a key statement about the character of God, about who God is. And we see here, twice in this passage, that God is love. Good. God is love. Now, the issue here is we start to run into some misunderstandings. Issues of understanding what love is and what it means that God is love. Because here's the truth that we know, right? For some people, God is love means God just wants me to be happy. God just wants me to be myself. Which is why in culture, in society, we have a lot of Christians who start to be okay with things like homosexuality, who are okay with things like gender transition, who are okay with things like other pathways to salvation because God is love. And they've traded the truth for a lie, right? They've taken God is a loving God to mean God wants what I want. God approves of who I want to be. Instead of realizing that God being loving means that his truth is what is best for our lives. It is in perfect love that God says, I have designed marriage to be between a man and his wife. It is in perfect love that God says, I created you intentionally with the gender I gave you, and you are beautiful. It is in perfect love that God says, your desires do not always line up with the plan that I have for your life. You see, God loves his kids. I love my kids as well, right? Which means I don't let them stay up all night eating candy because I know that that would be very bad for them. And God being love means that he knows what is bad for you and he says no to those things as an act of love, not as an act of hate. Love does not mean full acceptance. Love does not mean there are no boundaries. So what does it mean when we say, and when John says, God is love? Is there a tangible way for us to see his perfect love on display? Look at verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love of God was made manifest among us means, look, this is how you see the love of God, right? This is how God's love has been revealed to you. This is how God's love has been shown, meaning that our following verses are the ways that we see the true definition of God's love. So what is perfect, true love shown by God look like? It looks like that God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We see the true definition of perfect love in the gospel message, in the hope of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is love. Right? Not God lets me do whatever I want. Not God just wants me to be happy, but that God saved my life. That God offers me grace that I don't deserve. That God sacrificed his perfect Son for me. This is love. Once again, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is love, right? Not anything that we have done for God, but everything that God has done for us. And what he has done for us is that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is a fantastic word. It means a sacrifice that takes away the punishment from someone who has been wronged. Because the truth of the gospel is that we have wronged God with our sin. And Jesus, God's perfect Son, sacrifices himself to make that right. If you wrote down the word propitiation, it's a good spelling word, I would love for you to write down the word atonement. Jesus as our propitiation means that Jesus is also our atonement. Atonement means to make right. Jesus provides atonement. He makes right with God through his perfect life and death on the cross that satisfies God's perfect justice and turns his righteous wrath away from sinners. This is what true love looks like. This is why God is love. God created creatures he loves in his image. He watches them walk away and choose sin, and he rescues them in a way that costs him something, that costs him his only son. And we as believers, we need to know that the gospel, what Jesus has done for us, is the crux of God's love. A crux, that word means the most important, the central, or the decisive point of an issue, an argument, or a problem. See, the gospel, God sending Jesus for us, Jesus dying for us and rising again, proves his perfect love. It's how we see his love at work. So now for us, it's not just, oh, God loves you because he created you. Because the crux isn't that he created you, and I'm not saying God didn't love what he created, totally loved what he created. But there is a truth that you don't have to love what you create. Right, a perfect example of this is every time I try to cook a meal for my family. Like, I don't automatically love what I create. And yes, God loves his creation, but God shows that he loves his creation because he sent Jesus to love, sacrifice, and restore his creation. Which is such a good reminder for me that when I share the gospel with people, when I want to share the love of God with those around me, I need to share the gospel. Right? I don't just need to be a nice person, but I need to tell them who Jesus was and what Jesus did. Real love is the gospel. So explain the gospel. So all this leads again to this call from John to love one another. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also got to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. If God loved us, we ought to love one another means that if the gospel is true, if we really have been loved in this way, that we should be compelled to show the love to others because we have been saved, changed, moved by that love. And now, as followers of Jesus, we take his love and we spread it and show it to everyone around us, right? And this comes together in verse 12, where John says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." What does that mean? Is John saying there's really no evidence for God? Is he saying, well, God really can't be seen at all? No, we know through scripture that's not true. But we see this as a practical instruction that God has already demonstrated his love through the gospel. Right, that sacrifice on the cross has happened. So now the way that people see God in the day-to-day is through his people, right? Through his body, his bride, the church, who have God's love in them. Those people spreading the love all around them. And I think we all need a reminder that your life reflects who God is. And this is actually a really big deal and something that we need to take more seriously. See, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this. It says, "We, therefore, are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled with God." An ambassador is someone who represents someone else or something else. If I come here today as an ambassador from Canada, I represent Canada, eh? If I am an ambassador for Verizon Wireless, not sponsored, by the way, then I speak for and I influence you for Verizon, In the same way, if I am an ambassador for Christ Jesus, then I speak for God. That does not mean that all my words are God's words, but that means if I claim to be a follower of Christ, if I claim that Jesus is my king, then my life should show others who God is. You see, my job as a believer is to show God's character to others around me so that they would want to know the God who that character came from. So I forgive like Christ forgave me. I have patience because Christ has had patience with me. I am truthful because God cannot lie. So when people interact with you, do they experience some of God's character? I've heard a lot of people's testimonies, and a lot of people share in their testimony that they met a guy or they met a girl, and that person was just different, and I just wanted to be like them. And so they discipled me and taught me to be more like Jesus. Those people who discipled you were different because they were showing the rest of the world what God is like, as they exhibit his character, as they obey the command that if God loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, and if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. You want to hear a hard truth? Here's a hard truth. You can claim Christ by word, but represent Satan by action. You can claim Christ by word, but represent Satan by action. Right? You can show others what God is like based on your actions, or you can show others what Satan is like based on your actions. And the worst part of this is that if you claim to be an ambassador for Christ, people might link your behavior to his character because you claim Christ. To show the truth in that, I wonder how many of you grew up believing that God was an angry God because you grew up with an angry father. I wonder how many of you never developed a healthy fear of the Lord because you grew up around people who didn't fear God. And the list for that can go on and on. I just think we need to take this seriously if we believe that people see God through the way we live our lives. That's why John, it's so important to him that we need to love one another. We need to love one another. We have this call to action to love those around us. But Rock Hill, we also can't take on this deep burden that we are the ones that save. Right? Because the hope of this is that for someone rooted in the gospel, their failures and their sin cause them to go right back to the love that started it all, right? To confess, to ask for forgiveness, to keep loving others with a love that only comes from Jesus, because the gospel is the foundation, which is why my main point of this message is that our love must flow from God's perfect love. If you're taking notes, I would love for you to write this down. You can just write down, his love equals the gospel. It's very simple for us to understand right now. And then you can write down, our love equals our response to the gospel. Has your love been coming from your foundation built on what Jesus has done for you, or has it been from your own effort? Let's continue reading through what John has to say about love here in verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he cannot see, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Who he has seen cannot love God, who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. So we have a lot here about our love just flowing from his love in this section, second part. I want you once again to just think of God's love as our foundation that we build upon, our reservoir that we bring the water out of. All our love is built upon and comes from that. We are told here that we abide in God and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. You see, sometimes we forget that being a Christian does not just mean that you have been saved from something, but it also means that you have been saved to something, which is a relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you. And this passage tells us how love can be perfected within us. How does this work based on this passage? Well, we confess that Jesus is God's Son. We abide in him. We believe that the love God has for us is true. And God's love is perfected in us in a way that casts out all fear. Meaning that as we grow in our understanding of God's love, we can approach adversity and persecution and the end of days with a confidence and a trust in the gospel built on the love of Christ. John also talks a lot about abiding here. Abide means to remain, to stay connected, to live with, to make your home with, in. We are told to do that with the love of Christ. This is why it is so good that the gospel does not save us it doesn't just give salvation, but it gives us relationship. Right, this means that we spend time with God, we grow in our faith, we learn, we love, all with Jesus. And as we do, he makes us look more like him. But as the passage says, that love grows when we abide. I want you to look up at the screen at this picture. Also, if anybody has a phone charger, like right here, and can give it to me. When you use props, you should probably bring them on stage. That was totally my bad, but let's look at this. Any phone charges? Okay. What is this picture on the screen here? Actually, the prop was supposed to look like this. What is this? This is a phone. What is that? How does that work? Right, I plug this into that, and it powers this. The truth is that this works correctly when it is connected to that. And we work correctly when we are connected to God. Right? When we abide in Jesus. We grow in love when we spend time in his love. And it's just challenging. Right? Because how would you know his words of love if you never read his word? How would you know his voice of love if you never pray and listen? How do you know his bride of love if you never attend church? How do you know his heart of love if you never serve? How do you know his heart for loving generosity if you aren't generous with what he has given you? Just look at this phone and this picture of a charger. You were made to stay connected to your Father in order to love the way that you were meant to love. My love is an overflow of his love, and I am filled with his love when I abide. But here's a hard truth to take this another step. Do you guys know what happens when my phone here gets very low on battery? It goes into something that my Google Pixel calls battery saver mode, where certain functions shut down because the phone is trying to conserve power, which is so annoying because it's always when I'm listening to Spotify and it just turns off my song. But Christian, some of you are on battery saver mode because you have not been abiding in Christ. And you are in an emergency state in your faith because you are not plugging into the source of your love. And I want to lovingly warn you that you are in a very dangerous place. If love is a cup that you pour out, you can't pour out of an empty cup. Right? Being with God, abiding, remembering the gospel of grace, remembering what Jesus has done for you, falling deeper in love with the truth of the gospel is how you get filled back up. Don't stay empty. Don't stay in battery saving mode. You don't work correctly. I was driving here this morning just praying for this message, and as I was thinking about abiding in this whole example, I just had this phrase came to mind, and I think God might have pressed it on my heart, so I just wanted to bring it to you. But I felt like the Lord was saying to a couple people, stop trying to do all these things for me if you aren't willing to sit with me. And I just want to encourage you that God wants to sit with you. He wants to meet you. He wants to show you the beauty of his word through the Bible that he has revealed to you. He wants to spend time with you in prayer. And I think the good thing about abiding is that abiding is not about, well, I'm just going to do a 5-day fast and I'll be good, filled up again. Or it's not about, I'm just going to go in the woods with my Bible and get lost and I'll be good again. It's just about spending time with the one who loves you so much and remembering the joy of your salvation and that it's not by your effort, it's not by your works, it's what he has done for you already. From the mouth of Jesus in John 15, he said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So our love grows when we abide in Christ because our love must flow from his love. Jesus said, if we don't abide in him, we don't bear fruit. And this is true for the love that we show. So as we look at verses 18 through 21, we finish off with just some beautiful scripture. That perfect love casts out fear. And we've established that perfect love has been revealed as the gospel of grace that God gives. That love is good, holy, and pure. We are once again given the point that all of this love is possible and built on the foundation of God's love for us. Right, we love because God first loved us. We also have this powerful message in verse 20 that essentially says, if you say you love God but you hate a brother, you are a liar because you can't love God and hate others. This is kind of a crazy statement when you read this. It's like, wow, well. But it points out again the perfect power of God's love that the gospel brings. John is also pointing out this truth, let's get to some geometry, that love from God must be horizontal as well as vertical. I did some really good graphic design on this slide, guys. If you have been changed by the gospel, it's not just now about vertical love between you and God. It's about that vertical love you've received horizontally displaying the love of Christ as you share the good news of Jesus and live in the reality of the cross. The truth is that difficult people do not give you an excuse from loving them if you also claim to know God, because Jesus died for you, forgave you, and you are a very difficult person as well. John makes it abundantly clear in that last verse that whoever loves God must also love his brother. I wanted to share one final example. So for me, I have seen this reality play out in a very powerful way the past couple years of my life. I have learned very practically that I am only able to truly love others with a pure love when it flows out of my love for Christ and my identity in the gospel. Only because I have been redeemed, changed, and filled with the love of Christ can I love. So as a lot of you guys know, a couple years ago, we adopted 2 children. It's amazing. But these past 2 years they've been the hardest years of my life. And my daughter in particular has just had a really hard first couple of years of her life before she went into foster care. And it's made things very, very difficult. And I haven't been the greatest father. I've had hard moments. And there have been very tangible moments where I felt a deep spiritual attack from the enemy telling me and urging me to give up on her. But I haven't given up on her, and I will not give up on her. And I just know that if it wasn't for the love of Jesus in me, I would have. I wouldn't have been able to do it. I know that the love I've been able to show her only comes from the love of Christ in me. Because I know that if it wasn't for that love, I would not make the right choices. I've seen very practically that the good that I'm able to do flows directly from the gospel. I have seen God work in me so that now I show her grace because she has shown me grace. I adopted her because God adopted me. I love her no matter what because God loved me no matter what. And that love is not natural to me. If not for that love, I would not have been able to do this. I feel his grace come into me in the hard moments. And I'm so thankful for God's love demonstrated through the gospel that I am able to share with my daughter. And just like the clip from the beginning of Brant forgiving his brother's killer, I see God taking my broken and selfish love and changing it into his love, which allows me to respond in ways that are so counter to how the world responds to hardship. And church, he wants to give you that love and fill you with the love. He has already shown that love to you. Loving others does not mean trying harder not to be annoyed with people. It means drawing upon the endless pool of love that you as a Christian were made to be rooted in and filled with. He will give you what you need when you ask. His love will not fail you, as we've learned, because perfect love casts out fear. And God has already shown his perfect love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that love allows us to abide in him, to love, to forgive, and to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And as we end, I just want to leave you with some questions for you to think through in your coming days and weeks. Number one, what does it mean that God is love? We've established it does not mean that he wants you to do whatever you want, but he has a plan for you. Number two, does my ability to love others come from my own effort or from the gospel of grace? Number three, have I been abiding in Christ? Am I on power saving mode? Does my Spotify keep cutting out? Number four, who are 3 people whom I am having a hard time loving? And I challenge you to spend this week, every day this week, praying that God would help you to love them. God, is love. God is love. His love has been fully revealed through the message of the gospel. You will never be loved more perfectly than that. If you are here and you do not yet believe, I just beg you and encourage you that this love is real and true. And if you haven't, believe in Jesus and what he did for you on the cross and be transformed by his love and his grace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you that you love us. And God, love can be a word that doesn't have as much power these days because we love everything. But God, the love you have for us is the most powerful statement because we sinned against you. We denied you, yet you still chose to rescue and redeem. God, we just thank you right now that Jesus is our propitiation, that Jesus has made atonement between us and you. God, thank you that you saved us. God, I pray for the person right now struggling to love somebody. I pray that you would fill them with love in Jesus' name that they have never felt before. Would you fill them with grace by your power and your spirit that they have never felt before? And would they be rooted in your love, God? Would they know that true love comes from your perfect love only? I pray that this church would be a church filled with love, and that love being the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.